Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. This is Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. I'm flying solo again today, and I want to talk about lessons learned in the coronavirus fight to date. I'm recording this on Saturday, March 21st. So we're really a few weeks into kind of the heavy situation here in the United States. I think that to set the stage for this podcast, the most sobering number that I've seen this week is that confirmed coronavirus COVID-19 cases here in the United States have grown more than tenfold over the last 7 days. We're seeing increases typically between 20 and 30% per day right now across the United States, with significant increases in three locations, and that's Massachusetts, California, and New York, primarily centered on New York City. So as we're all kind of fighting this fight right now, as business continuity and crisis management and resilience leaders across the United States and throughout the world, I want to talk a little bit about the lessons learned that we've seen about the coronavirus fight to date. So I'm just going to walk through some things that we've learned, that we've picked up on from talking and benchmarking with a number of companies in the United States, Canada, Europe, and China. And we'll just share some thoughts here. And then at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to send in some of your thoughts for a future episode. But let's start with some lessons learned that we've seen. One of the biggest is that companies that are working through this right now need a crisis management process, a crisis response process that is coordinated by top management and experts within the company that really give experts and leaders in the organization the autonomy they need to implement creative and pragmatic solutions. So this is where having the crisis management framework that we talk about all the time here on our podcast, but having a crisis management framework helps you do a number of things that are critical right now as you manage through the challenges presented by coronavirus. The first is having this process in place, the framework in place, helps you understand the crisis. You're able to, you know, get together with that crisis management team and your executive team, brief the situation on a daily basis, and understand where you stand. And based upon that understanding, then you can use your framework and process to decide upon and execute those immediate strategic actions that you need to take, collaborate together and within kind of your subject matter groups like HR, security, business continuity. You can collaborate together on other actions that align with those actions that you want to line up to do that really need to fit with both your organization's values and the societal norms that are going on in that moment around the coronavirus. You might be limited by actions that your local, state, or national government is taking. And that's what I mean by kind of the societal norms. Like, how do you line up the actions that you need to take within the framework right now of what is allowed and what is legal for you to do? And then your framework allows you to deliver and monitor on those actions that you're going to take. You can monitor the execution of those actions in a way that lets your organization pivot as necessary to change those decisions as you start to see the responses and make your other strategic and tactical decisions that you need to make as a company right now. And we see four critical areas that companies need to use their crisis management process for right now to kind of center their response. And these might be a little different for your organization, but pretty consistently we're seeing four areas. The first one, and the most important one by far, is protecting your workforce. Taking the actions to make sure that your team is safe as you continue the operations at your organization. And in some ways, managing the pay, benefits, incentive pay, sick leave, attendance situation with your team as necessary. And we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. So the first area is protecting your workforce. The second area is engaging with your customers and your clients, depending upon your business. But I think you want to, here we see companies really maintaining contact with your customers, ascertaining their needs. You may have to make strategic adjustments to things you're doing as an organization to make sure that you're delivering upon the things that your customers are looking for in this more difficult time. The third is stabilization of your supply chain. So here we're looking at, you know, depending upon your business, your raw materials, your third-party services that are being provided to you. It could be the outsourcing of work that you do to a business process outsourcer, for example, in Asia or India. But what is your supply chain? And then what do you need to do to stabilize your supply chain? What's the continuity capability, disaster recovery capability of your suppliers that you're dependent upon in order to do the work that your customers are engaging with you on? And then fourth, and this is definitely more of a forward-looking issue, but really stress testing your financials, taking a look at your financial model, starting to apply stress to it to understand what happens if a key supplier drops out. What happens if we have a downturn in business in the 10 to 15% range? What happens if there are less medical claims, if that's your business? What if there's less claims in the future because it's just going to be about coronavirus for some time? So starting to look at what those financial impacts to your organization might be as you look ahead. In addition, we see four practices around the crisis management process that we think are important for companies to ensure are in place. The first is to establish a single source of truth for the crisis management process. So as you're working through the coronavirus situation, what are you communicating about those decisions? What kind of situational briefings or understanding are you providing to leaders across the organization? The second is to make sure that your leadership is aligned on your current scenario, your current understanding or current briefing of the situation, and the scenarios that you're planning for on what might happen next. For example, if you're not already in a state that is in a kind of a lockdown, shelter-in-place situation, we should anticipate that your state will eventually do something similar to that. So that's a situation that you want to be planning for now. You want to have your tactics and strategies figured out so that when your state or states announce that they're moving to shelter in place, well, then we've talked through what that means for us and what we're going to need to do. Are you critical infrastructure or not? Will your employees be able to get to work or not if they have to come in? Can they continue their work from home? Will this create other difficulties that you or your supply chain need to deal with? So that's the scenario planning that we really want to make sure that we're doing right now. The third thing companies should look at in relation to this is establishing communication and influence channels with local, state, and national political leaders and health officials. This might be as simple as making sure you're plugged in to their official communication so that you're seeing policy statements, executive orders, press conferences, and those kind of things so that you're current on the situation in your state and across the country. But it might also be that there is a role to play for your company to influence some of these situations. I'm not sure. It's a little different by organization, but those are the things that we want you to think about. And then fourth, companies should establish a battle rhythm, a cadence of meetings and decision-making cycles that you're using with your crisis management and executive teams all throughout this crisis. Generally, we're recommending that one of those teams meet every day and look at what is going on from a crisis management perspective, what's new with the situation, and what adjustments do you need to make to your strategy, what communication may need to be published about what's happening with the situation. So there's kind of a strategic point of view on the crisis management process that needs to be coordinated and in place for your top management. Let's talk now just more tactically on some lessons learned. For the most part right now, you should have, if possible, your workforce work from home. Hopefully you have the remote tools in place, virtual private network or VPN, collaboration tools like Slack or Microsoft Teams, project management tools like Basecamp, Trello, Asana, Microsoft Project, Office 365, or others. But obviously, there's work that needs to be done in person. Production lines, food assembly, retail, grocery stores. These are all things that have to be done in person. So where you have work that has to happen in person, at the office, at the manufacturing site, take appropriate precautions. as much as possible, you want to social distance the team. Think about the workplace. Can you move workspaces farther apart? What about the cafeteria and break room? Think about removing or marking off every other seat in order to create that 6-foot barrier we want from a social distancing standpoint. Can you stretch out or adjust your production lines so that workers can be farther apart? And in some cases, you might need to think about only having some of the workers on this shift and moving some of the other workers to another shift in order to create that social distancing space. I acknowledge that this may have an impact on productivity, but this will also kind of adhere with the social distancing guidelines that we're seeing from public health agencies. So these are important things that need to happen. We want to see regular cleaning. Think about cleaning workstations or areas before and after each shift. Clean the facility between shifts if that's possible, or at least once a day, in order to ensure the virus is killed on surfaces, doorknobs, food areas, etc. With personal protection equipment, unless you're working in healthcare or as a first responder or in law enforcement or a role where there's usually PPE required, generally masks and things like that should be reserved right now for healthcare and first responders, and emergency services as much as possible in order to reduce demand on those products. Except for certain applications, we don't recommend temperature screening in the workplace. Although we're seeing this a lot for visitors coming in to companies, although really you don't want to be doing much of that kind of visitor stuff right now anyway. If you do decide to take temperature of your employees, think about maybe just doing it as a sample. Sample every 10th, 12th, 15th person coming in as to not kind of violate social distancing and not slow down your workforce, but that might be an acceptable alternative. Successful organizations, of course, and we've seen this since the virus really began to take hold here in the U.S., sick employees should stay home in line with the CDC's guidance. You've probably already looked at adjusting your pay, your sick leave, and attendance policies accordingly, but certainly if you're sending someone home because they have a respiratory infection of some type, they're off for 14 days. Most companies are paying them for those 14 days before they can return to work. Many companies are also now paying incentive pay or perhaps attendance or retention pay. And many companies have also increased compensation across the board during this more difficult time that we're going through. We see a lot of value in communicating upfront to employees about your efforts and keeping them informed about your efforts. You should also tell them, particularly if they have to work in the office or a manufacturing line or elsewhere, what will you do if there's a confirmed case in that environment? You should just be pretty upfront about pausing or not pausing production, about cleaning, about kind of quarantine and self-quarantine efforts that you'll follow as a company so that they understand what that means. We do recommend creating an internal hub of information. That might be an intranet page, if that's how your employees communicate, that has fact sheets, links out to credible resources like the CDC or your state health department, has frequently asked questions, etc. Make sure you cover where to report if they're sick, where they can go for more information. For factories or manufacturing facilities or food production, this might just be a bulletin board where the information is up on the bulletin board. Again, you should communicate in a way that is most effective for your organization. We've seen a number of false reports with our clients where folks have said, hey, I've been diagnosed with coronavirus. And then when the client has asked for documentation, it turns out not to be true. We would recommend that you clamp down on those pretty hard from a employee standpoint, a disciplinary standpoint, in order to encourage the others not to create false reports. We've also had issues where employees and contractors have made fake posts, so to speak, on social media where they're saying that their employer has a confirmed case even though they don't. We would recommend also coming down pretty hard on those. Don't be afraid to use the libel and slander defamation laws in order to force someone to take down a clearly false post. I mean, it's just kind of crazy what people will do right now. And then lastly, you should continue to remind your teams, and I would talk about this all the time, about them following the guidance from the CDC and the World Health Organization, and that is to wash your hands, stay home if you're sick, don't go to gatherings over 10 people, don't plan gatherings over 10 people, and avoid those that are currently sick where you can do so. These are some of the lessons that we've learned so far in the coronavirus fight. I'm sure in the days and weeks ahead, we'll learn more. But I would love to hear the lessons that you've learned. Drop us a note at contact@brightpath.com and share your thoughts, reactions, and your own lessons learned. And we'll use them in an upcoming edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. That's it for now. We'll have another new episode soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.